Okay?
So yeah, okay.
Hopefully we've got everybody here.
Yep.
Okay. So we are holding on Coastal Evolve Amadeus, 6 lines from the bottom by the True Dao.
Okay. Lavoyna, okay.
We learned in the Mishnah. We said, we started talking about various cases where a person says a neder to bring a certain thing to the Mizeach, and we started talking about what the minimum amount of that thing is that he has to do to be yotzei to his neder. We mentioned wood, and the next one we mentioned was Lavoyna. We said that Lavoyna, lo yifkos min ha-kaynis, person makes a neder that he's going to bring Lavoyna as a korban, the minimum he has to bring is a kaynis. So Menol, where do we know that from, says the Gemara? The answer is dichtiv, because like this, the Pasuk says, v'heirim mimenum v'kumtoi, the Pasuk describes, how do you take a kaynis of a mincha? The kohen should take out of the mincha with his hand, with his handful, misolas ha-mincha o-mishamna, from the solas, from the flour of the mincha, and from its oil, the eskol ha-lavoyna, and then he should take all the lavoyna, which we've learned earlier in the Masechta, it means that he moves the lavoyna over to the side, he takes the kohen of the flour and oil, and then he collects all the lavoyna and puts it together with it. The point is, though, that the Pasuk is mentioning the solas and shemen, and then right after that, the lavoyna. Therefore, makish lavoyna la-harama de mincha. Therefore, the Pasuk is making a hekesh between the Lavoina and the amount that is lifted out, the amount that's taken out of the Mincha. Maharoma de Mincha Koimet. So what is the amount taken out of the Mincha itself, out of the flour and oil, is a Koimet. Af Lavoina Nami Koimet. From that we learn that the Lavoina also has to be a Koimet. And that applies when you're bringing a Mincha with Lavoina, that the amount is a Koimet. We learned that earlier in the Sefer. And by the same token, if you're bringing Lavoina by itself, same idea, then it would be a kohen. Okay. Turn it up on the Gemara says, we learn in a Braitha. More on this topic. If a person...
Straightforward.
Yeah, okay, but now a little more on this topic. What about if a person says, Harei Alaylam is Beach? What if the person... So in the Mishnah we've been talking about, we said, what if the person says, Harei Alay Eitzim? What if he says, Harei Alay Lavoina? Harei Alay Zahav, etc. What if he says, generically, Harei Alaylam is Beach? I am obligating myself to bring something on the Mizbech. So what is the something? Yovi Lavoina. So the Braitha says he should bring Lavoina. Why? She'en l'chadava she'korav v'gabi ha'mizbeach ela Lavoina. Because the only she'korav kula ha'mizbeach, really actually Shita Mekubetza says, the only thing that is entirely offered on the Mizbeach is Lavoina.
Abadiya Eitzim.
Hold on. We're going to get through a few possibilities. As far as Eitzim, actually, the Gemara is not going to ask about Eitzim. The Gemara is going to go through a few other possibilities. It's not going to ask about Eitzim, especially because we learned at the end yesterday that not everybody agrees that the Eitzim themselves are a korban. We said the Chachamim held that the Eitzim are only machshirei korban, basically.
Uh-huh.
And even according to Rebbe, who says that the Eitzim are a korban, according to Rabbeinu Gershom's understanding of Rebbe anyway, he would say that most of the wood is given to the kohen, just like most of a mincha is given to the kohen. Shekorev v'gabim mizbeach literally means that it's offered on the mizbeach. But Shita Mekubetza clarifies the wording and says shekorev kulei on the mizbeach. The only thing that is completely offered on the mizbeach is lavoina. Now we're gonna ask. Hold on. Before we get to that, let's finish the braisa and then we'll start talking about it. The braisa continues. What about peirashti? Now suppose the person says, I know I specified among the now. We just said that Lavoina is the only thing that's entirely offered on the Mizbeach. However, as the Gemara is going to talk about in a second, you really have 3 categories. You have Lavoina, which is the only thing where the entire thing is offered on the Mizbeach and nothing else is done with any other part of it. Then you have a group of things, an Oila being one of them, where you don't have any part of it eaten by the Kohen. But you don't have the entire thing offered on the Mizbeach. In the case of an Ola, we're going to say in a second, the skin of it is given to the Kohen. You have a few, yeah. So that's the second category. And then a third category is most other Korbanos, where you only have a small part of them put on the Mizbeach, the Kohen of a Mincha, the Emurim of a Korban or whatever, and the rest is eaten by the Kohenim and all the others. So the thing is like this. If he says generically, Harei Alaylam Mizbeach, then we know he means Lavoina. But now, on the other hand, though, it is possible for him to have meant one of the items in category B, in the second category, where you don't have any part of them that's eaten by the Kohenim, however, you have parts of them that are not offered on the Mizbeach, for example, the skin of an Ola, conceivably, he might have said one of those. So therefore, if he says, Peirashti, Be'eni Yadeh Ma'pirashti, suppose he says, I know I said I'm going to bring one of the things that is completely brought on the Mizbeach, the any Adam Asirashti, but I'm not sure what it was. Now there we have to consider, maybe he didn't mean only Lavoina. He might have meant any of the other things, any of the, not only Lavoina, which is in category one, he might have also meant any of the things that are in category two, Oila, and a couple of others that we're going to ask in a second. So therefore, Yavi, we call Dover Shekhar of Lamizbeah. So the result is, therefore, that to be Yotze is Nedir, to be sure, he has to bring each of the items that's Kar of Lamizbeah where none of it, where you don't have any part of it eaten by the Koyanim or by the Oath. You may have. Meaning, in other words, not Harei Lamizbeah. Then it's clear. Right. So there, you have two different cases, in other words, where he said Harei Lamizbeah, and he knows he said that, versus where he said Harei Alai, versus where he said Harei Alai, something that goes completely on the Mizbeah, but now I'm not sure what it is. So then, once he mentioned that concept, then we have to consider again if he only meant Lavoina, then there'd be no suffix. But the fact that he himself has a suffix implies that he intended to include any of the items from the second category in it as well. Therefore, we have to bring those as well. Okay, so let's figure out. So let's figure out first, is Lavoina really the only one in category A that's completely offered on the day after and nothing else is done with any other part? So the Gemara asks, true Lekha, are you telling me there are no others? Well, Ika Oila, what about an Oila is completely burnt on the Mizbeah? The answer is Ika Oila Lakoinim. Okay, but the entire, nothing of it is eaten by the Koinim, granted, but you have the skin of it is given to the Koinim, so you don't have the entire animal that's offered on the Mizbeah. Okay, what about the second possibility? Well, Ika Oila Sa'oif. What about you have an Oila Sa'oif where none of it is eaten by the Koinim either, and you don't have the skin of it goes to the Koinim? The answer is okay, but Ika Mura Benoisa. Okay, but you have the Mura Benoisa. You have the intestines and the crop and the feathers, or we learned in Zrachim the question whether noisa means the feathers or whether it means the partially digested food that's in the crop. Whatever the point is, those are not offered on the Mizbeach. Those, as we learned in Zrachim, are thrown onto the floor near the Mizbeach and they're swallowed up into the ground. Same thing that we learned over there, that a bird eats from Gezel, because birds just fly around and eat from whatever, and Hashem doesn't want Gezel on the Mizbeach. So again, therefore, you can say, fine, no part of the korban is eaten by the Koyanim or by the owner, but not 100% of it goes on the Mizbeach either, because the Murav and Noisa are thrown onto the floor. So it's still not part of Murav and Noisa. We said, maybe the cross, the intestines, the asking. Okay, what about Ra'ika Mistachim? Okay, what about a third possibility is Mistachim? If a person is menadev wine, as we learned at the end of the previous parak, that you can do that, then all of that goes on the Mizbeach. Why should we say again, in the first case where he said Harei Alai Mizbeach, why Davke is he bringing Lavoina, and we shouldn't say he should have to bring wine? The answer is, okay, Lashitin Azli, yes, but the answer is, when he says Harei Alai Mizbeach, we assume that he means something that's actually burnt on the fire of the Mizbeach. Now, wine is not burnt on the fire of the Mizbeach, it's poured into the Shittin. So therefore, we shouldn't
it
assume.
Goes all on the Mizbeach.
It does go all on the Mizbeach, but not on the Mizbeach as in the fire of the Mizbeach. It just goes into the Shittim. Okay, what about for Ikon Minchas Mitzachim? What about a fourth possibility of Minchas Mitzachim, the one that's brought usually together with a korban, and we've learned that you can also be menadev separately, and that's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The answer is, okay, fine, but given the Ikam Mincha, the Achli Koyin Mina, because there are other kinds of Menachas, the word Mincha is a generic term. It can include the kind of Menachas that Koyin eat, and it can also include Minchas Nesachim. So therefore, it's not a definitive thing. You can't really say that if a person says Harei Alai Lamizbeach, that he's going to mean Minchas Nesachim, because then we would expect him to clarify a little bit to make sure that he realizes that he's clarifying and saying that he intends to bring Davka Minchas Nesachim rather than just any kind of Mincha, which may not include the kind completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So therefore, the result is, again, if he said Harei Alai Lamizbeach, and he knows for a fact that that's what he said, okay, then he only brings Lavoina. Because Lavoina, we said, by elimination, it's the only item in category A. However, if he says, Peirashti, the Enya, De Masirashti, now we have to be concerned that he may have meant category A or category B. All these four things that we mentioned are in category B, because it's true, none of them are eaten by the Koyanim or by the owner. However, not all of them goes on the Mizbeach. It's skin, you have the Mura Venoisa, or they're not burnt on the Mizbeach, as the case may be. And therefore, the result would be that if he has that suffix, he will actually have to bring all five of those things. So he'll have to bring Lavoina, as well as these four other things.
So the first case is Tirashti, Rami Yodeh,
right, that he knows that he said, Harei Alai Mizbeach, right? So then it's only Lavoina, right.
And the second case is
Matirashi, so then we have to be concerned that he may have meant one of the other four items, an Ola Sahema, an Ola Sa'oi, a Nesachim, or Minchas Nesachim, and therefore we have to bring all four of them as well, plus the Vayne. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Harei Zahav, we said if a person says, I'm obligating myself to bring gold, and obviously there it's not as a carbon, there it's a hektish, it's a Berakah Bayis, the Le'yivchis Midinah Zahav, he should give not less than a gold dinner. So the question is, why do we assume that he means a gold dinner, Dafka? The Dilma Naska. Maybe he means a piece of gold, a bar of gold.
Naska is a bar?
Naska is a bar, a piece of gold. Now, Tosfos discusses over here the question, do we mean, therefore, are we talking about a piece of gold that's less than the size of a dinner? In which case, what could you use such a small piece of gold for? Later on, the Gemara is going to talk about the concept of small forks, small fork-like utensils that they might use in the Beis Mikdash. So here also, you might have a small piece of gold might be sufficient to make such a thing out of it.
Rashi says a piece of plate of gold,
whatever. The point is, Tosfos wants to say that we're talking about over here a bar of gold that's smaller than a dinner. What could you do with such a small piece? You could make one of these little forks out of it that the Gemara is going to discuss later. You have other mepharshim, and in particular some of the notes of Kalim on the Rambam, who understand the Rambam possibly to be saying the other way, the Rambam's shita on this, so to possibly be the other way around, that it might mean that the bar we're talking about is larger than the dinner zahav. A plate doesn't mean a plate like a dinner plate or something. It just means a flat piece of metal.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be that large.
But anyway, the Rambam uses the expression that when the person says Zahav, he has to give until he says Loy L'chach Miskavanti. So some of the notes of Kalim on the Rambam understand that that means, in other words, the Rambam is taking our Gemara over here about Naska and saying maybe it means therefore he should have to give more than a dinner Zahav until he says, I can't possibly have meant that much to begin with. On the other hand, you have some of the notes of Kalim understand, and especially based on a Yerushalmi that bears on this also, that the Rambam may have understood, similar to Tosfos, that the Naska could be smaller than the dinner Zahav, and the question would be there, and therefore, until he says, Lo L'chach Miskavanti, he's talking about the minimum now. That once he reaches the point, when he's all the way down to, like Tosfos says, the size that you can make a little fork out of, then he can't possibly say, I meant less than that. But it could conceivably be that, rather than a dinner Zahav, which would be larger. Anyway, the question is, why is the Mishnah saying a dinner Zahav just like that? Yeah. The answer is Amar Abulazar, the Amar Makbeya. Yes, but the case of our Mishnah would be where he said Dafka that I'm going to give a gold coin.
Well, then there's a question.
Well, wait. So the question is the Duma Chissi. Okay, but who says it means a dinner Zahav? Maybe it means smaller gold coins. Chissi literally means purchase. That doesn't necessarily. The Gemara is not necessarily talking about purchase. But it's smaller denomination than a. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. The answer is Amar Apapa Chissi the Davaloy Avdi Inchi. People don't make such small coins out of gold because they're too easy to get lost. But therefore, practically speaking, the only gold coin that you really have, the only smallest gold coin that you have in regular circulation, is a gold digger.
People used to make coins for the time, or the government?
Well, the government. When we say inchi, we mean government, whatever. And you also have, keep in mind, even if a government issues coinage, people have to accept it. If a government issues coinage and people don't accept it, practically speaking, nothing's going to happen with it. They're going to end up recalling it and melting it. So there's more to use the expression, like, the inchi, meaning the people in the government will know to begin with that such small coins are not going to circulate, and even if they try, people aren't going to accept them because they're too afraid of losing them. So therefore, practically speaking, the smallest gold coin that circulates is a gold dinner. Okay.
Which is what it's like
a gold dinner was, I don't know, it's not quite that small. I think it was
an eagle.
An eagle?
A golden eagle.
A gold, you mean a $10, like United States $10 gold coin that they had in the old days? No, because $1 wasn't called it. It wasn't called a gold eagle. No, a dinner would be, I think I've seen pictures.
$20.
Okay, no. I think I've seen pictures that a dinner was roughly about the size of a quarter or so. So I guess they'd be similar. I guess they'd be similar to like maybe the old $5 gold coins of the United States.
No, that's Ether.
All right, off you go. Okay. If Aaron was here, he'd be Googling up pictures of gold dinners for us. Yeah. Right. I have no idea. All right, off you go. We said, okay, come on. Kesef lo yifchis medina. Well, yeah. We said in the Mishnah, Kesef lo yifchis midiner. If he says, I'm making a neder to give silver to the Beis Hamikdash, but also lo yifchis midiner, it shouldn't be less than a silver dinner. So again, the question is, the Dilma Naska, who says that he means a silver, who says he means a silver dinner? Maybe he means a bar of silver. Again, you have the different ways of explaining. Does he mean smaller or larger than a silver dinner? And again, the answer is Amar of Allah, the Amar Mafeya. Same answer that we're talking about, that he specifically said, I'm going to give a silver coin. Okay, now when it comes to silver coins, you can't say that there are no smaller silver coins, because there are. There are Marites, for example. So the question is the Duma Prism. Maybe he means, again, not literally Kukis necessarily, but just, in other words, smaller coins, yes. The answer is Amar of Sheshis, but after a delay, Sagu Prisi de Kaspa. Yes, but the Mishnah is talking about the kind of place where no smaller silver coins circulate. So in other words, yes, if they did, then maybe he could be yotzer with that. But because we're talking about a place where the smallest circulating silver coin is a dinar, and anything smaller than that, they use copper coins, then therefore, when he says a silver coin, then it has to be a dinar. Then he said, Nechoshes lo yukhet mimar kesef. We said that if he says, I'm giving an adava of copper, then it shouldn't be less than a ma of silver. Now, Tosfos asks the question there's a short, a little bit of this Gemara is also in Shabbos, and Tosfos asks the question over there in Shabbos, why shouldn't he be able to give a smaller amount of copper? Why shouldn't he be able to give a pruta of copper?
Here he says
a ma of silver, so why not a pruta of copper? So there's a few different answers. One of them being that a person would never be menadev such a small amount. People are menadev an important amount, so the pruta is not really enough to be worthwhile to give it an adult. A pruta of copper, right. They don't make that, that's one possibility. That's one possibility to answer Joseph's question over there. Another possibility is, again, we may be talking about the kind of place where prutas don't circulate. And you have actually in Bava Metzia, when you have in Perek HaZav, when it talks about over there about the circulation of gold versus silver versus copper, the Gemara mentions over there that you have places where they didn't commonly use copper coins, where the smallest denomination they used the silver coins. Vaguely, I guess you could say, like in some places nowadays, I don't know, here in the United States, we still use pennies. For example, in Canada, they don't. They round everything to the nearest nickel. So therefore, you could say they don't use pennies over there. They stopped minting them years ago. So there would be an example. For example, you could say where prutas and mechoshes don't circulate. Okay, I mean their nickels are also made out of rather base metal, but whatever. You get the point. Okay. All right. So Tanya, we learn in a bright. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lo yichris mitzinorak tanish on mechoshes. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says actually the smallest amount that he should give is not less than the size of the amount of copper that can be used to make a small fork made out of copper. And again, you have Mephoshim discuss over here, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov talking about, I mean, are we talking about that our Mishnah is not talking where he specifically said Masbeya, or are we talking even he did say Masbeya, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is arguing and saying doesn't that have to be a ma of silver, or does he mean the amount of copper that would make up the equivalent value of a ma of silver is the equivalent of what can be used to make a small fork? Okay, anyway. So the question is, what would you use a small copper fork for? We're saying that you have to give something that would have a certain shiver, something that would have an importance to the business. Okay. What are they going to do with a small copper fork? I'm going to buy a shemachatitin bopsilos. It's like this. A small fork like that, they would use it to knock off, to trim the end of the wick when it burns. So nowadays, candles are made with wicks that are self-trimming, but in those days they didn't. So you'd have to trim the end of the wick occasionally because of all the charcoal that gathers at the end of it over there. So therefore, they would use...
In those days, the wick didn't trim itself completely? Or
right. So eventually you'd have a big amount of carbonized residue or whatever at the end of it, and the flame wouldn't burn cleanly, and therefore you'd have to trim it, which is part of the thing. When we say on Shabbos, you're not allowed to read by candlelight. Shema Yasa, that's part of it, because you might tilt it or you might trim it or whatever. Yeah. So in any case, you could use a small copper fork like that. They would use them in the Beis Hamikdash to trim the end of the burnt end of the wick. And also to clean out the lamp of the ashes and oil residue or whatever. The way Tosfos discusses we don't necessarily mean the ones of the menorah. Rashi actually in Shabbos over there mentions that we're talking about that they would use them for the lamps for the menorah. Tosfos over here says they don't need that. They the menorah itself. We learned a couple of parakim ago when we were discussing the construction of the menorah. We said you have melchachayim. You have little tweezers made, little tweezers or tongs or whatever made out of gold that they would use to trim the wicks and clean them and yeah, whatever. So the Tosfos says over here we're talking about they had all kinds of other lamps. They called them melchachayim. They called them malchachel or machetel gavtar. So no, what we're saying over here, Tosfos says, is we mean there were many other lamps around the Beit Hamikdash. So they had to trim them and they had to clean them also. So for those, they could use these kinds of copper forks. So now here's another one. Our Mishnah only mentioned if the person says gold, silver, or copper, but you have a fourth major metal that they use, iron. So barzel, what happens if the person says, harei alai barzel, how much does he have to give? Tanya, so we learn in a braisa, achayrim, which usually means a mayor, says, lo yifchos mikalya oren. He should not give less than a kalya oren. The kalya oren is like this. The roof of the Beit Hamikdash, you had a problem. You had ravens, are native to Eretz Yisrael, and the ravens, the crows, whatever, they're more or less the same. They're native to that area. And they tend to carry, first of all, anywhere where birds go, you tend to have bird droppings. So it wouldn't be covered if for that to be on the roof of the Heichal. And the Heichal is very tall. Birds are likely to try and roost over there. Second of all, also, birds of prey like that, ravens and crows, are likely to be carrying around pieces of meat from carcasses or whatever that they picked up. And those can be metallic, whether it's from a person, from an animal or whatever, they can be metallic.
They could.
There's no particular reason why they couldn't. So therefore, so they had to put something on top of the heichal to keep them off. So it's called kalya oren, like to remove the oren, to remove the raven, so to scare them away. So Rashi over here, so there's a few different explanations. Rashi over here describes that they had sharp nails on the top of the heichal. This way, when you have nails poking up over there, then they're not going to come and roost over there. Tosfos over here discusses a couple of other possibilities. There's another Gemara where Tosfos says, where Rashi explains that what they were like flat sheets of metal with sharp edges that were put edge up. You'd have a piece here, a piece here, a piece here, and again the sharp edges would discourage any birds from landing over there. And if they tried, it would cut off their feet, so that way in there. The Aruch explains that it was something more like a scarecrow. And then also, you have a few different possibilities what this Kalya Oreb was. Anyway, Tosfos also mentions an interesting idea that is from the Aruch. They didn't need a Kalya Oreb in the first Beit Hamikdash because the Kedusha of the first Beit Hamikdash was so great that no ravens or any other birds of prey would dare try to fly over or land on there anyway. The second Beit Hamikdash, which is, with a second, and Tosfos says that maybe what happened actually is, it could be, based on other Gemaras, that originally they built one in the first Beit Hamikdash, then they found they didn't need it, so they removed it. The second Beit Hamikdash, meanwhile, the second Beit Hamikdash, they found they did need it, because it's not, the Kedusha is not as great, so therefore they had one there, and it was there for throughout the whole 420 years of it. Interestingly, by the way, there's a sicha from Nun Beis where the Rebbe talks about you have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim where Dovra Melech is describing his preparations for building the Beit Hamikdash, where he mentions that he amassed a huge amount of gold and silver and copper and iron. Now what where do we find in the first Beit Hamikdash or in the second Beit Hamikdash? They use iron in the first Beit Hamikdash on the face of it, we don't find it all. In the second Beit Hamikdash, okay, all you have is Kalya Oreb, but still not the huge amount, not the gigantic amount of iron that it says over there. So the Rebbe talks about what it may mean is that primarily what it'll be, and the Rebbe talks about Pnimis Enyanim, that the third Beit Hamikdash will feature much more use of iron than the previous Beit Hamikdash. They talk about the idea that the iron is like a deeper level of Avodas Habirurim, so therefore like the first Beit Hamikdash they didn't need it at all because they were on a higher level, the second Beit Hamikdash they were on a lower level, therefore they need to start working with it, and the third Beit Hamikdash, therefore the third Beit Hamikdash, which is where we're finishing the Avodas Habirurim, that's it, Mashiach has come, then therefore we can make use of iron extensively throughout the structure. Getting back to the Gemara over here. So we're saying that the amount of iron when a person says Harei Alai Barzo should be not less than the amount that they can use for the Kalya Oren. The Kama, so how much is that? I'm going to just Amma Al Amma. That would be a piece of metal, an amma by an amma. No, we're not talking about that wouldn't be the whole Kaliya Odom. The point is, again, especially according to Rashi's explanation over here, it's a bunch of iron nails sticking up. So therefore, I guess the idea is you could take a piece like that, an amma by an amma, and cut out of it an appropriate number of nails to be able to put. Or according to Tosfos' other explanation, in Rashi's name, the idea is you have a bunch of plates like that that are put on edge, so therefore each of those plates would be an amma by an amma.
With thin edges.
With thin edges, yeah. Okay. Ikadami, another version of the discussion goes as follows, that the Braisa says, lo yichas me'ama alama, that the Braisa says it shouldn't be less than an ama alama, and the question is, l'maikazir, what could you use a piece of metal, a piece of iron, an ama by an ama for? I'm going to be like, for Kaliya Odev. And the Yosef answers, you can use it for the Kaliya Odev. So it's just two different versions. Is it the Braisa said for a Kaliya Odev, and the Yosef clarifies what size are the pieces for the Kaliya Odev? Or is it the other way around? The Braisa set the size, and Rabbi Yosef clarifies what they would use. So they would use it for the Kaliya Odev to scare away the crows and ravens from landing on the roof of the Beis Hamikdash and dropping off an Avelis and whatever over there. And
it was steel or iron?
Iron, the Vashrith, I don't know. Yeah, they could drop their droppings, they could drop pieces of the Avelis they're carrying, yeah. So like this, it would discourage them from landing.
It
fell on carbon and make a tommy. So, yeah.
So wouldn't
many of it possible? I guess. So therefore, like this, if they have this set up on the roof of the Heichal, once you have the highest building in the area...
You could still fly over the Azara.
They could, but once the highest building in the area is covered with Kaliya Odev and therefore they can't roost over there, then the pastures, they're not going to necessarily try to roost on the lower structures of it. They could, but I think also the idea is, I mean, crows are fairly smart birds. If they see that there's something over there that's designed, and I think there are actually places, in the Jerusalem or something that implies that they have Kaliya Odev in other places in the Beit HaMikdash complex also. Okay, anyway. All right. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. Here's more cases where a person says a neder, and we have to clarify how much he means. Hareo ayayin, if the person says, I'm obligated to bring wine for nesachim, lo yichas mishloisha lugim, he has to bring not less than 3 lugim, because that's the minimum amount they would ever use for nesachim, for a sheep. Shemen, what if he says, Hareo ayayin shemen? Now we had him at the end of the previous parak, we said Rabbi Akiva held, and that's the halacha, you can't even add up shemen at all. The only way you can have shemen is as part of a minhag. But according to the Tarfin, it could be Manad of Shemin. So our business mission would be according to the Tarfin. Because we learned over there, we learned over there that Rebekah said, if you're learning from the fact that you're able to bring wine separately, and therefore you're arguing by the same logic, you can bring oil separately, okay, but the wine, when it's brought as part of the Nesachim, remains separate from the Nesachim. You pour it into the Shittin, whereas the Minchas Nesachim is burnt on the Mizbeach. Whereas the oil always comes as part of the Nesachim also. It comes as part of the Mincha. It's mixed in with the flour. So you don't have any source to say that you should be able to bring oil by itself.
Because all the oil that you bring
has to be part of the Mincha, right?
And it should be the same regard.
Yes, yeah, right. So in other words, you had over there like this. Reb Tarfin has said, just like you're able to bring wine, so you should also be able to bring shemen. And therefore, just like wine comes by itself, so shemen should come by itself. And Rabbi Akiva tells him, yes, the difference is, wine, even when you bring a korban and minchas nesachim, you have the flour and oil mixed together, but the wine still stays separate. Whereas the oil doesn't stay separate, you mix it into the mincha. So you don't have a source to say that you should be able to bring oil by itself.
Yeah,
it is part of it. If you bring it, then you bring the mincha. Yeah, you bring them in, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but okay. But again,
all
according to the Tarfin, no, according to the Tarfin, yes. So our mission is according to the Tarfin. Shemen, lo yichas min lug, he should bring not less than a lug. Rebbe ayin shloish a lugin. Rebbe says the minimum is 3 lugin, as we'll discuss in the Gemara why they are. What if he says perashki ve'en yedei ma'pirashki? What if he says I know I made a nether to bring a certain amount of wine or a certain amount of oil ve'en yedei ma'pirashki, but I'm not sure now how much I said. Yobi kiyom merubah, he has to bring the amount that's brought on the day when you have the maximum number of nesachim that are brought. We'll see in the Gemara how much that is.
So 100
nesachim. No, we'll see. We'll see in the Gemara there's an actual number. Hold on. Okay. Turn it up. So the Gemara starts off. We learn in a bright. So b'chalal, how do we know that a person can make a neder of wine and score on the mizbeach? We learned this at the end of the previous character also. The pasuk says Ezrach. The pasuk says kola Ezrach yasa tocha esedele. And that whole pasuk is extra because the previous pesukim already told us all the rules of nesachim: x amount for a par, x amount for an aisle, x amount for a keder.
3-1.
Right. 3-2-1 esroinim and 6 6-4 and 3 logim of oil, and then 6-4 and 3 logim of wine. So now this pasuk, Kol Ezra, Yafa Kol Ha'Ela, all Jews should do exactly like that as an extra pasuk. So from that pasuk, Malamet Shemisnad Ben Yain. From that pasuk, we learn that a person can be not of wine by itself, and Reb Chaim wanted to learn from that also. Shekel. The Kama, so how much does he have to bring? Shloisha logim. Uminayin, because that's the minimum. How do we know that he can bring more than 3 logim? Which in the previous parak we talked about this bright that may be implying that he can bring 5 logim, even though 5 doesn't evenly divide among any number of korbanos. Therefore, the pasuk says yeah, either a pasuk a few pesukim later that says yeah, or a pasuk in a different context that mentions yeah. We talked about it in the previous parak. Anyway, the point is there's a word yeah. That is not in the same chasiyahim yiyah lafor, Rashi says, or kachan kagir yiyah lefnei Hashem, which is a connection of the lachim. Either way, the word yiyah means that 3 is only the minimum. You can bring also 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever.
Yes.
No, the point is not the gematria of the word yiyah. The point is yiyah means that it adds an extra havayah. It adds an extra level of existence, kind of. So it doesn't have to only be 3, it can be more than 3. Yachol Yichos, you would think maybe you can bring less than 3. No, Talmud Lama Kocha, therefore the Pasuk says Kola Ezra Chiyata Kocha Eseva, Kocha is Leikova, it must be this way and no less, so therefore no less than 3, but it can be more than 3.
You say 3?
Yeah, Yiyah means more than 3. Now, Kola Ezra itself means 3. Yiyah means the fact that you're able to bring more, which we learned in the previous parak, as Gemara discussed. It means not only the point is not that you can bring also 4 and 6. There's no particular chiddush in that, because 4 and 6 are also shyest to animals. The chiddush is, we learned that the braisa is saying that you can bring 5, even though 5 is not divisible among any number of animals from the sun. And then, how do you know you can't bring less? Because kocha means it has to be just like this and no other. That it is ma'akiv to bring at least 2.
How did we reach 5 over there?
Because we said you have 3, 4, and 6, or respectively, for a kebis, an aisle, and a power. So 5 doesn't make, it's 5, you can't make any combination. So any number over 6 can be a combination of an appropriate number of part of Elam and Tzvot. So the Mishnah had said there that you can't be Menadah 5, and you had the whole discussion, if you did, what do you do with it? But we said a Braith over, we brought the same Braith over there, so that the Braith seems to be implying that we could bring 5. So anyway, that's the point. That's how we know that a person can be not of wine, and that's how we know that the minimum is 3 logim. Next, shemen lo yukas min a log. We said if a person is not of oil, it has to be at least a log. Rebbe a shlosha logim. Rebbe says it has to be 3 logim. So, my commentary, what is the underlying machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Amru rabbanan kamed rapapa. So the bnei ha-yeshiva wanted to say in front of the papa, who was the Rosh Hashiva, they wanted to suggest that it's like this. That Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing when we learn one thing from another, whether by Gzeira Shavar, or in this case by Binyan Av, or whatever, we learn by the Binyan Av, let's say, and then we keep on bringing details over from the Melamed to the Lamed. So not just we learn, not just the Binyan Av, or the Gzeira Shavar, doesn't just teach us that there's a connection between these things to learn one particular din. If we learn many, as many possible dinim from one to the other, that's called Dun Mino Mina, versus Dun Mino V'Oki Ba'Astra would be, we learn only the one thing that the Gzeira Shavar or the Binyan Av is about, and everything else, by the target, by the Lamed, remains as it would have been without the Lamed. But they may be arguing about that. Namely, right. So therefore, Rabbanan Sadri Dun Mina Omina. So the Rabbanan hold of the concept of Dun Mina Omina. We've learned about this in Bavli. Yeah. So therefore, we start out like this. Ma Mincha Misnadvin, Hashem and Nami Misnadvin. They will say like this, like what Tyrefin said at the end of the previous prayer. Just like you can be Menad of wine, so you can be Menad of oil, because they're similar as both being liquids that are used for Nesachim. That's the Dun Mina. And then umina, and then we're going to continue learning ma mincha belug, Hashem and belug. So they're going to say, sorry, ma mincha is not, they're not learning from wine, rather, they're learning from a mincha. Just like you can be menad of a mincha, they're going to say, so also you can be menad of shemen by itself. They're learning actually because we're in a little bit we're going to learn that you have the word korban, your nefesh kisach is korban min falashem, and the word korban is extra, and they're saying that means that word korban teaches us that you can be menad of oil. So we're learning oil from by itself from a mincha because there's a hefesh between them and the pulpit, korban mincha. So therefore, so that's the dunya. meaning that they're adjacent in the Balkans. Korban Mincha, yes. So that's what we're learning from what... So therefore, from Mincha, we're learning through oil, through the word Korban Mincha, so that's Dunmina, and then Umina. And then they're going to say, well, continue learning from Mincha. Ma Mincha Belug, just like a Mincha only requires at a minimum of one lug of oil, because that's the minimum size Mincha, is one Isar and a flour and one lug of oil. Af Shemen Belug. So the same thing, oil is only one lug. That's the
Chacham. Minimum?
Minimum, yeah.
Not maximum.
Right. That's where they get that one lug. Because they're copying from a Mincha. From a Mincha, so Dunmina, we're learning from the concept that a person can be manad of a Mincha, that they can also be manad of oil, and we'll continue, and then we're continuing to learn from there that just like with a Mincha, you have one lug of oil, he also, when he's saying a nether of Shemen by itself, it means only one lug. The Rebbe Sava, Dunmina of Okibasra. Rebbe will say, okay, yes, you can learn the one thing that you're learning through the Hekish, but then everything else, you have to leave the way it was originally. Namely, fine, I agree with the basic hekish that just like you can be menad of a mincha, so you can be menad of oil, fine, we're learning that from carbon mincha, but the uki ba'asra k'nesachin, but we're still going to leave oil as being what oil would usually be as it is in the context of nesachin. Ma nesachin shloshas lugin, the minimum amount of oil for nesachin is 3 lugin, for a sheep. Hashem and Nami Shloshes Logan. So the same thing. You want to be manad of oil by itself. It's got to be at least 3 Logan.
Keep adding on.
Don't keep adding on. You're only bringing over the one item. That you can be manad of oil by itself, just like you can be manad of a mincha by itself.
Yeah,
but other than that, Uki Ba'asra, all the other rules of the oil remain as it was. Oil, when it's brought as part of a mincha sesachim, the minimum is 3 Logan. Therefore, the minimum when you bring oil by itself is also 3 Logan.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, so we're not adding on. We're keeping.
When we add on, we derive from one to the other.
But only that item. We're only deriving the fact that you can even add the oil by itself. Everything else. No, the Logan. We're leaving because oil is Nisachim, therefore the usual rules of Nisachim apply to it. The only item that we're overriding is the basic concept that you can even add it by itself at all, and not just as part of a mincha like Rav Akiva said. Right. According to the Pasuk, it could, and according to our Mishnah, it could. According to Rav Akiva, you're right. According to Rav Akiva, at the end of the previous paragraph, Ein Mishnah Ben Shem. Well, he holds that limud. He argued in the Mishnah. The difference is you can't be learning that the word korban teaches you about oil, because there's no logical reason to say that oil should come by itself. You never find oil coming by itself. It's always part of a mincha, as opposed to wine. So therefore, he would say that you'd have to use the word korban for some other limud. Here we're not talking about corn, here we're talking within your pipe. You can learn. Yes. So therefore, so now we have Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing now. We have like this. Oil is usually part of Nisach. So usually Rebbe Kibbush ought to be right that you can only bring it as part of a carbon minute. But here we're saying you can bring it by itself. Where are we learning that from? Here we're not mentioning our pipe, but yes, corn's his opinion. He was saying that you're able to be manad of oil by itself. Where are we learning that from? From the extra word korban. Where does it say that word korban in connection with a mincha? So the Chachamim are saying we're going to learn as many possible details of it from a mincha. Number one, that you can bring it by itself, just like you can bring a mincha by itself. And number two, that the amount will be one lug, just like one lug of oil in the mincha. That's dun mi no mi no. Rebbe is...
In a korban mincha, you don't bring it by itself.
A korban mincha, though, you're bringing the entire korban mincha by itself, not as an adjunct to something else. You don't have to bring a mincha only when it's together with an animal korban. I understand that, but the point is the fact that you're able to bring a mincha, which is an independent entity by itself, consisting of flour, oil, and levaina, therefore you're able to use oil as an independent entity also. But then we're also learning the amount, just like the oil here is a lug, so the oil here is a lug. That's dun mi no mi no. Rebbe is going to say, fine, I agree that we can learn that oil can be an independent entity by itself. But other than that, oil is basically nesachim. Nesachim, the minimum for oil, is 3 logim. Therefore, here it has to be 3 logim if you bring it by itself. That's dun mi no, but oki ba'asra, leave everything else the way it was originally. No, Python does hold you bring it by itself.
What can hold you by itself?
Yeah.
But if it's if it's part of the suffering, if it's part of the thing, it's free. But he doesn't hold the either make the other, because the reason the other karma. That's what he's saying is separate. We have to look. It doesn't hold the two separate karma.
We know it doesn't have to be for a carbon, but we know that it is.
For a carbon, it's free. He doesn't hold that.
Well, that, okay, but again, Rebbe is saying, nevertheless, you want to learn from a mincha, that you want to learn from a mincha, that you're bringing that, you want to learn from a mincha, that just like you can bring a mincha by itself, so you can bring oil by itself, fine, but not to go so far as to say that that would mean you bring only one log, when normally, with a minimum amount of oil that you're bringing, is three logging as part of a mincha. As part of a mincha, I should say. Because oil is usually brought as part of a minchas tesachet,
which is three. Yeah, so you kind of go further, and it's one.
Right.
How many
three? Rebbe is saying that I don't have it, that I have a raya for the three, because nesachim, if you brought wine by itself, it would be three. You're arguing that oil is another example of nesachim that you can bring by itself, just like you can bring oil by itself, so you can bring wine by it. Just like you can bring wine by itself, so you can bring oil by itself. Fine, but oil, when it's brought as part of a minchas nesachim, is three. Therefore, oil by itself is also three, because you're not learning that from a mincha. That's the point. You can't learn that detail from a mincha. You're only learning the one item. Dun mina v'uki ba'asra. Learn from the mincha, but uki ba'asra, other than that, leave all the details of it the same as it was. Meaning the amount. Okay. So that's the thing. So Rebbe is going to say, yeah. Okay, Rebbe sabah, dun mina v'uki ba'asra. Fine. Ma mincha misnad v'nashrem and nami misnad. And just like you can be minad of a mincha, you can be minad of oil by itself, but v'uki ba'asra, but you have to leave the rules of oil by itself, namely kin esachin. Oil is like any other nesachim, because when you bring oil by itself, it's like wine. It's nesachim. It's not part of a car. It's not part of a mincha. That's not the point. The point is it's poured on the mizbeach by itself. It's poured on the mizbeach by itself, so therefore it's nesachim. Therefore, my nesachim shloshes logim, just like when oil is brought as part of nesachim of three, achshem and nami. Same thing. If you're going to bring it as by itself, also shloshes logim. Okay, so that's what they wanted to suggest. This is what they wanted to suggest is the source of the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim of our mission. Amalahu Rapapa, but Rapapa says to them, no, that doesn't work, because imi mincha gamal Rebbe, because in fact, if Rebbe learned the concept that you can bring oil by itself, if he learned it from a mincha, the kuma amalai, so you don't mean amina, then everybody would agree that you could learn all the details from a mincha, and then the result would be that you could bring only one book.
If you
were to say that he's learning from the word korban mincha, that if you're going to learn that he's saying from the word korban mincha, then we would actually have to say that even Rebbe would agree that there's none of this dun mina v'uki ba'asra. Once you're learning from a mincha, you're learning everything from a mincha. The fact that you can bring it and the fact that you can bring one book. So that can't be the reason.
For
a mincha tzatzachin. When you're mixing it with flour and bringing it as a mincha tzatzachin. Right.
So you should learn one.
So therefore, so why does Rebbe say three? Ela Rebbe me ezrach gamlevo. Rather Rebbe is learning from, how do we know that you can bring oil by itself, says Rebbe. He's learning from the word ezrach. So therefore, in other words, the argument between him and the Chachamim is not about the mechanism of the Hekesh, dun mino v'oki ba'asra. They're actually arguing which pasuk are you learning from. The Chachamim are learning it from Korban, therefore to them it's like a mincha. You have a Hekesh with a mincha. Rapapa is learning it from Ezrach in connection with Nesachim, where he says, when the pasuk is saying ha'ezrach, and he said before that means it can be menad of wine, he says the same thing is be menad of oil. But they're both Nesachim. And therefore, the Rebbe will say, okay, Nesachim are three, so therefore oil is three.
Why is not learning like Chachamim?
Because why should he learn from carbon? He's learning from Ezrach. He's saying, I don't need an extra word carbon for that. I would use the word carbon for something else. In fact, he said before that he holds from that we learn that Eitzim themselves are carbon. That word is a carbon. So therefore he would say, I don't need that anyway. The word Ezrach. Fine. Okay, you could argue the pasuk could have phrased it differently, but whatever. The point is that Rebbe will say, the fact that the pasuk says Ezrach, from which we're learning that everybody agrees you can bring wine by itself, I say that also teaches us you can bring oil by itself. Well, in that case, right there in Parashas Nesachim is where it says that. In that case, never mind dun mino v'uki ba'asra. In Parashas Nesachim itself, the minimum oil is three. Therefore, the minimum oil by itself is three.
But he derives oil from wine.
Right. And wine is three, and therefore oil is three.
It's not
as... Yeah. Yeah. They poured it in the kitchen. They poured it into the bowl on top of it.
So, you say,
Okay.
No, go ahead.
The reason why I say, when I was here last time, you said about the insect on the wood.
Then it's possible, yeah. No, well, according to Rebbe, wood is a coin by itself. According to the Chachamim, they disagree. But even so, it's like a even according to the Chachamim, to have wood with worms on the mizbeach is a design for the mizbeach. It's like a mum. We discussed maybe actually with Malchus for being Malchus to the thing, but whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. So therefore.
It's not considered a carbon.
No, okay, but even if it's not considered a carbon, it's machshira carbon, but machshira carbon is also out to be. Yeah, okay. So anyway, so far we have the Yeshivalites are arguing that Rebbe and the Chachamim are both learning oil from the word carbon in connection with the Mincha. They're both learning from the Hekdesh for the Mincha, and they're arguing how to apply the Hekdesh. Rapapa is telling them that no, actually they're learning from two different psukim. One is learning from Mincha, one is learning from Nisachim. Therefore, if it's Mincha, you learn one, and if it's Nisachim, you learn three. However, on the layer of Huna Breder of Nelson and Rapapa, Umi Matis and Ratachi, how could you possibly say that Rapapa is not learning from the word carbon? The Hatanya. We learn in a Breda. Rav Huna Breder of Nelson is asking Rapapa. You're telling me that Rebbe is learning from the word Ezrach, not from the word carbon. Can't be. But Tanya, we learn in a Blaise. When the pasuk says korban, again, v'chi nefesh kitak is korban min chal Hashem, melamed shemisnad bin shemen, from that we learn that you can be menad of oil, v'kama, and how much, shloshes lugin. Now let's consider, who is this Blaise like? Man shamat le do'ama shloshes lugin, which Tana is the one who says three lugin of oil? Rebbe. V'kama isolami korban, and he's learning it from the word korban. But obviously, what the Yeshivalite was suggesting is correct, that he's learning from Korban, and the argument is about how to apply the Hekesh, whether you use Dun Mino, Mino, Dun Mino, or Kibasra.
So we're rejecting
the... Well, we're rejecting the Papa's, yes. On the way, so the Papa says, yeah, okay, Tanya, okay, if we have a Breisa, then we have a Breisa, and then I take that, yeah, I'm really more than always expected to know all the Breisas. Tanya, if it's taught, it's taught. Meaning, it was okay, so I take back what I said because we have a Breisa. Although, actually, there was a Ran, actually, in Nedarim, where it also said, yeah, well, you also have an expression over there, Tanya, where he explains it, that it means that a Papa is basically saying, I don't understand the Breisa, but nevertheless, I'm still sticking to my opinion. Okay. No, in other words, according to the Ran, it sounds like he's saying, okay, you have a Breisa. I don't understand how the Breisa could possibly be saying that, because the fact is everybody agrees, do me know me not. So I have a, I'm not going to cash around the Breisa, but I'm still sticking with my opinion. I'm still keeping what I'm saying, that he learns from Ezra. Okay. Fine. The halacha is neither here nor there, anyway. You can't learn Shemin by itself, anyhow. Okay. The whole argument, because we need to understand the Mishnah. it's all chachmas to replenish. Bottom line, halacha is not where it's all at. I mean, halacha is a chug of a kiss to the shofar, but you need the rest. You don't just have a malucha with a crown, right?
Why is there
a halacha
which cannot bring
shimon
by
itself? Because you said the halacha is like a kibbutz.
Halacha
is a kibbutz. Okay. Then we said in the mission of Pirashti to any of them after Pirashti. If the person says, "I know I made a neder." But to bring a certain amount of wine or a certain amount of oil, but I'm not sure how much. So we said, but he has to bring the amount that's brought on the largest possible day. So what is the largest possible day? Tana, we learn in a Braita, ki yomtev harishin shokhag shokhaliyat b'shabbat. He would have to bring the amount of wine and the amount of oil equivalent to the nesachim that are brought together with the karbonis of the first day sukkahs if it comes out on Shabbat. So let's make the calculation. So Shita Mukubetis has an extra Rashi that we don't have in front of us that makes the calculation as follows. On the first day of Sukkot, we know you have the Musafim R, you have 13 Parim, 2 Elim, and 14 Kvasim, plus if it's Shabbos, then you have 2 more Kvasim for the Musaf of Shabbos, and because every day you have the Korban Talmud, so you have 2 more Kvasim. So altogether you have 13 Parim, 2 Elim, and 18 Kvasim altogether. Now let's figure out. Now the amounts of wine and oil are identical. Any Mincha Tesachim you have, for example, for a sheep, it's 3 Lugim of wine and 3 Lugim of oil. So once we make the calculation for one, it'll be the same for the other. So therefore, you have 13 Parim, you have 6...
On the first day,
you have 13 Parim, 6 Lugim apiece, so that makes 78 Lugim. Mm-hmm. You have 2 Elim, each one needs 4 Lugim, so that's another 8, so now we're up to 86. And then you have 18 kvostim, each of which needs 3 logim of wine and 3 of oil.
6, 4, and 3?
Yeah. So 18 times 3 equals 54. We had 86 so far. 86 plus 54 equals 140. So on such a day, they would bring 140 logim of wine as part of Nesachim, and 140 logim of oil mixed into the respective Minchas Nesachim for the Korbanos. Therefore, this person has to bring 140 logim of wine or 140 logim of oil as the case may be. If he doesn't have money, let him go be mapping it.
For one person, yeah.
Yeah.
He has to be 13 parim?
No, he doesn't bring 13 parim. We're talking about he made a nether that he's going to bring oil, for example, or that he's going to bring wine. Let's say wine because everybody agrees he can bring wine. He originally said, I'm going to bring 50 logim of wine. Then he forgot how many he said. He can't remember. Did he say 1 log? Did he say 2? Did he say 10? So whatever we say, the maximum possible that he could conceivably have said would have been 140. Therefore, we make him bring 140. Same thing as in the first Mishnah of our parish, where he said a mincha, and he's not sure how much, where we make him bring 60 because that's the largest size mincha. Same basic idea. Okay. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Mishnah says. All right. Mishnah says. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. More cases where a person makes a neder. Harei alai ola. If the person says, I'm obligated to bring an ola, you'll be careful. Then the minimum he has to bring is a kevus, is a sheep. Rabbi Lozman Azalia rather says, it doesn't have to be a sheep. He could bring a bird. He could bring a turtle dove or a dove. We'll see in the Gemara why they are. Rashi explains that the idea is that when he said Harei Alai Ola, it means he's only obligated to bring the minimum size animal. So therefore, the minimum size turban. So the minimum one among the various animals that can be brought as an ola would be a kevus. What? No, the minimum isn't, because you have 3 kinds of animals that can be brought as korbanos, right? Cows, sheep, and goats. So a sheep is the smallest one of them. So therefore, the smallest one. They're the smallest, the cheapest, whatever. So therefore, that's a... Yeah. So therefore, you can be yotzei with that. All right, and Rabbi Lozman Azai says you don't even need that. You can have a bird, as we'll see in the Gemara. What if he says, Kedashi min abakar? What if he says, I know I specifically said I'm going to bring some kind of cattle, the any of them Kedashi, but I'm not sure what I specified. Now here we're talking about an oila. So an oila can only be a male animal. But you still have 2 choices within cattle, which one? It can be a baby, which is an eagle, or an adult, which is a par. Very well, you'll be par of an eagle. So you have to bring a par and an eagle to be Yosef's neder either way. What if he says, I mean, I'm behema, the any of them Kedashi? What if he says, I made a neder to bring an oila from the animals generically, but I don't remember which kind of animal. So now you have 6 possibilities. You have par of eagle, you have to bring an adult bull and a baby bull. Ayo, he has to bring an adult ram, an adult male sheep. Sir, an adult male sea, a baby male goat, which way, and a baby male sheep. So those are the 6 possibilities, and then he's covered no matter what he's saying. Yeah. I mean, the minimum you can bring them as korbanos is when they're 8 days old. Usually for most korbanos, the minimum you should bring them, l'chatchila, is when they're 30 days old. And then they're considered babies until as long as they're within their first year. Okay. What if he says, kedashti v'eni adem atirashti? What if he says, I specified what kind of creature it was, but I don't remember what it was, and now you have the possibility that it might not have been one of the animals at all. He might have originally specified that he's giving a bird as a carbon. So now you have not just those 6 possibilities. Most of them, Torah ben Yonah. So now you have to add also a Torah and a ben Yonah. So now those are the 2 possibilities that could be brought as an Ola. So now he's up to 8. Okay. Now that's as far as an Ola. And Ola, we know, can only be a male, so therefore there's no possibility of him having to bring female animals. Now, what about, let's talk about korbanos that can be female animals as well. Harei alai toda ushlamim. What if he says, I'm making a neder to bring a toda or to bring a shlamim, and those can be both males and females. So again, Yavi... An Ola is always a male, yeah. So therefore, again, Yavi kevus, so the minimum he's obligated to bring is a kevus, because that's the cheapest animal that you can bring for a toda or a shlamim.
Sheep and a goat?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's smaller. It's bigger than a goat.
I don't know. If you have baby sheep, it's not necessarily.
It's a baby sheep.
Yeah, baby sheep's within its first year.
And a goat?
A goat is also within its first year, but still. Okay. Okay, but still, I guess they were cheaper. I don't know.
Today they're
cheaper. I have no idea. What? then, okay. So then that's it. Okay. No, so that's just it. So therefore, Kevitz is cheaper. That's the point. Kevitz is cheaper. Yeah. Okay.
Sure, Kevitz
yeah. Or baby, okay, could be. Alright. Fine. Okay. Again, Terashi min. What if the guy says, I know I made a nether to bring a korban, a toda or a shlomim from the boker, from the cattle? Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the economics today. The Enyadeh Mafirashti, and it says, I'm not sure what it, and you have the same story at the end of Christos and Mitzachim, about the king and the queen are arguing, kiss, Imra Yoi, Gadya Yoi, which one is better, sheep meat or goat meat, man, kind of, we'll learn it in Christos, we'll get there later this year. Okay, anyway, fine. Hirashti min Bokar the Enyadeh Mafirashti, suppose the person says, I know I made a nether to bring a toda or a shlomim from cattle, the Enyadeh Mafirashti, but I'm not sure which type of cattle I said. But now there's four possibilities. You have males and females. You have par upara ego vagra. So you have to bring a male and a female adult, a male and a female adult, a bull and cow, and a baby. You have a baby calf and a male and female calf. If he says, you know, behema, now we're going to deal with it. In the Gemara, we're going to deal with the question, why should we say that he has to bring the smaller animal on the face of it? Can he bring the bigger animal and be yotze, that the big includes the small? That we're going to get to later. Hold on. Okay. So, mina behema ve'enyedeh mafirashti. What if he says, I made a neder to bring a korban, an oila, not an oila, a chatas, or a chatas, not a chatas, sorry, a toda or a shlomim, from some type of animal, ve'enyedeh mafirashti, and I'm not sure which type of animal, so you have eight possibilities now. Yobi paru para, twelve possibilities. Yobi paru para, before with an oila, you only have six, because you only have six types of animals that can be brought as oilers because they can only be males. Here you have males and females, so you got 12. You have a bull and a cow, adult. Ego vagla, a male and a female calf that are babies. Ayol rochela, a ram and a ewe, an adult male and female sheep. Sir seira, an adult male and female goat. Zdiv gadya, a baby male and female goat. Tlev italia, and a baby male and female sheep. Lamb. 12 possibilities. Here there's no possibility of a bird, by the way, because there's no such thing as a bird. There's no such thing as a bird shlomim or toga. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Harei olai shur. Suppose a person says, I am making a neder to bring as a korban a shur, an ox. So the rule is yavi hu nesachah v'monah. He has to bring it, the value of it plus its nesachim altogether has to be a money, which is 100 dinars. Now, why at that amount? Rashi says that it's just a Torah Shavapeh, and it's Torah Shavapeh, and the Lacham Mishnah, and the Rambam explains that means that Rashi, in other words, is saying that Halacha Moshe Mishnah, that's the value. Tosfos says not necessarily. It might be that on a Doraisa level, you could bring a much cheaper animal and be Yotze. The Chachamim said that this is the amount that you could bring. The Chachamim want you to bring B'ayin Yotze, and therefore they were Kevei at this amount. And the Rambam has yet a third explanation. The Rambam says that just that was the average price of a shur plus its nesachim in those days. So in other times, in other places, if a shur plus its nesachim is worth, on average, more or less, you don't make him bring the most expensive, you don't make him bring, he can't be yotze with the absolute cheapest, he has to bring the average kind of thing. And in those days, the average shur plus its nesachim equal the money. Okay. Ezel. What if he says, I'm making a neder to bring an ezel, a calf, a baby cow, Yavihu Nesachah B'chamish, then there's the value of the ego plus the Nesachim has to be 5 floyim, which would be 5 floyim is 20 dinarim, so unlike the adult one, which is 100, here it's 20. Aisle, what if he says, I'm making a nether to bring an aisle as a korban, Yavihu Nesachah B'shkai, and then the value of the aisle plus the Nesachim has to be 2 floyim. It gets cheaper as different kinds of animals. Kevis. What if he says, I'm going to bring a neder to bring a kevis as a korban? Yavihu nesachah b'sela. The value of that kevis plus its nesachim should be 1 sela. Okay. Now, what about another case? What if he says shur b'mona? Now, that's if he said shur generically. But if he specifically says shur b'mona, the shur itself has to be a mona. No, then it means, the difference is, yavihu b'mona chutz minesachah. Then it means the shur itself has to be worth a mona. And then the Nesachim are on top of that. when he just said sure generically, then it means that the combination of sure plus nesachim should equal at least the money. But here, where he said sure the money, it means he wanted to specify the sure itself should be worth the money, therefore you have to do that, because it's in the Mekayim, whatever that it was. It's similar, the ego b'chamish, if he specifically mentions the price of the ego, same thing, yovi b'chamish chutz minasachim, then the value of the ego itself has to be 5, besides the nesachim. I have the shayim, yovi b'shayim chutz minasachim, kevin b'shayim, yovi b'shayim chutz minasachim. Each, either way, the point is the same. Another case, shur b'mone, suppose the person says, I'm making a neder to bring a shur that's worth a mone, which we said he has to bring up a shur itself that's worth a mone, besides the nesachim. The heavy shnayim mona. What if instead he bought 2 animals that for the total mona and brings them as a carbon? Well, yosef, he's not yosef because his nezneder was to bring 1 animal with him on it. Even if each shur is worth 99 dinar, so you have, and if the two of them together is worth much more than the mona that he said. Nevertheless, no good.
One is worth more,
one
less.
No, even if each one of them is worth 99. Even if each one of them is worth 99, so the 99 dinars, so the total of them together, so each one individually is almost a mana, and together they're much more than a mana, so the mana is 100 dinars. Nevertheless, he's still not yet. So like that's the point. That's the point. It's a mana. It's a nether. Yes, a nether, like any other nether. Another case, shachar behavior love. And what if he said, I make a nether to bring a black ox, behavior love, and instead he brought a white ox as a carbon, or love and behavior shachar, or, no, even colorblind people can tell. Or love and behavior shocker. He made a nether to bring a white one, and instead he brought a black one.
Okay,
or, 1 second, stop. Or, and Tosfos points out, by the way, it's not just a matter of color. There's an actual, Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Nazir, that there's an actual difference in quality depending on the color of the shur. The Gemara mentions over there that a black ox is most worthwhile if you want the skin of it. The highest quality skins, you'll get some black ox. A red ox, a reddish, I guess, not quite a paradigma, but a reddish or brownish one or whatever, is best for the meat. The meat of such a one is the best quality. And a white one is best for plowing with oxen. That's just how it was. That's just how it was. There are different breeds of ox. I don't know, maybe it's stronger, maybe it's more docile, I don't know, whatever it is. The point is, so it's not just, we're not just some talking about a difference in color, we're actually talking about a difference in the quality of the meat versus the skin versus the temperament or whatever, or the strength. Yeah.
The color itself is
not so important, but yeah. Well, so that's the point. That is why shachar, behavior love and behavior shachar, why he wouldn't be yoseh, because not just a difference in color, it's an actual difference in quality. Right. Similarly, gadol behavior cotton, or if the person makes a neder to bring a larger animal, and instead he brings a smaller one, in all those cases, lo yoseh, and he's not yoseh, is neder. Gadol could be a larger animal, physically larger. I think some of the Mephoshim explain it may conceivably also mean that he made a nether to bring a larger type animal, like cattle, and instead he brought a smaller type animal, like a ram or whatever. Okay. Anyway, custom behavior gadol, what about the other way around? He made a nether to bring a smaller animal, and instead he brought a larger one. Yosta, the Chachamim say he's Yosta, Rebbe and the lawyer. So Rebbe says he's not Yosta, as we will discuss. And we had it the other day in connection with the case of the mincha, where the person's not sure of the size of the mincha. We mentioned this concept there also, that the machloikas, where Rebbe said he has to bring 60 individual menachos of different sizes, and the Chachamim say he can bring one big mincha of 60. We said over there that Rebbe Ashi explained that on the basis of what we're saying over here, that Rebbe would say, katan v'hevi gadol lo yosa. So if you made a neder to bring, say, a mincha of 10 extra, yeah, that's what we said over there. That Rebbe and the Chachamim might be arguing on the same concept over there, that the same way here. As Rebbe is saying, if he brought a larger animal instead of a smaller one, you're not Yotze. The same thing. Rebbe would say, you made a neder to bring 10 Esraim, and instead he brings 60, then you can't be Yotze. You have to bring one of 10, and then you have to bring one of each of the other 5. Yeah. Okay. So let's discuss. The Gemara says, the first machloikas we had in our Mishnah was about an oila, where the Tanakhama said that the minimum size oila you have to bring is a kebeth, if you just said arealai oila, and Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah said you can bring a bird. The Gemara says, well, it's not actually a machloikas. Marki Asrei or Marki Asrei. This is one of those cases where each one is talking about the situation as it is where he lives. So Rashi explains the difference is, where the Tanakhama of our Mishnah lived, a kevet was worth less than a bird. Therefore, the minimum thing he has to bring is the one that's the cheapest, which in his place happened to be a kevet. In Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's area, a bird was cheaper than a kevet. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to make him bring only a bird. But therefore, it would depend on the situation where the person actually is. Either one, they would be saying the cheapest. The Rambam has a different explanation, which is, it's not a matter of the respective values. It's where the Tanakhama lives. When people spoke of an Ola generically without specifying, they always meant the behemoth. Therefore, you have to bring some kind of behemoth. Whereas where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lives, when people use the word Ola generically without specifying, they could mean Ola to Oif as well. So as usual, the rule is Nedarim Halachah Halachim Ne'adim. When it comes to Nedarim, you go according to the common way that people describe things. So therefore, where the Tanakhama lives, it has to be an animal, because over there, that's what Ola generically means. If he meant a bird, he would have had to say Ola to Oif. In Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's area, it was common to use the word Ola to mean a bird also. Therefore, Halachah Halachim Ne'adim, I know you have to bring it up. It could be. I mean, it's well. It's not a huge place. Fine, but it's not such a tiny place. You have different areas. Okay, it's scary, but you still have different climates, different. Yeah, you do. Compare the climate of Tzfat and Be'er Sheva and tell me that there's no difference. Come on. The point is, you have. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Fine. All right. The point is, yeah. We learn in a bright, so let's talk further about what we said in our Mishnah about the minimum of the Keves. So we said, now what about, here's another case, suppose the person specifically says, I'm making a neder to bring an Ola to the Mizeach that's worth a seller, you'll be Keves. Then, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I guess, would agree that he has to bring a Keves, she'ein l'chodova, she'kariv the seller, l'gav of Mizeach, ela Keves, she'kariv the seller, because the only thing worth a seller that goes on the Mizeach as an Ola, would be a Keves. Any other type of creature would be less or more than that. So if he said a Sela, then he means a Keves. A Sela is it's a Sela. It's twice a Master Shekel. It's 4 dinarim. It's however you want to define it exactly. You're talking in terms of purchasing power, how much would it be? I don't know. Or, yeah.
Twice
Master Shekel, yes.
4 dinarim.
4, yeah.
2 dinarim, Master Shekel.
2 dinarim would be Master Shekel. I saw a while back, I saw somebody drew up a table based on things that we find in Gemaras and Rishonim and we'll have other finds from those days, try and establish some kind of table of roughly what kind of purchasing power would these things have had. I don't remember the details, but whatever, yeah. Okay. If there's inflation, then okay, so then, okay, so a seller may not buy you a Keves, but we're talking about under normal circumstances a Keves would cost a seller. Okay. What if he says, again, Terashti, the any day Masi Rashti, what if he says, I know I specified something that's worth a seller, but I'm not sure what, so now we have to consider it might not have been only an Ola. Yavi, the Koldova, Shakar of the seller, the Gabi of the Zayah. So now you have to bring anything that's brought on the Zayah to the value of a seller. So now it wouldn't just mean animals. So it would be, as long as you can buy a complete thing with a seller. So it would be a Keves, but it could also be however many birds it takes to equal a seller, and however much Lavoina it takes to equal a seller, and so forth. Okay. What about if he says, the Mishnah said, Tirashti min ablocker, if he says, I specified some type of cattle, the any adem matirashti, but he says, I'm not sure which type I specified, so he said, Yobi tar the eagle, so you have to bring an adult and a baby male, you have to bring an adult bull and a baby bull. So the question in her mind, why should he have to bring both? The life is time and monashah. Why shouldn't he be able to bring a par? And either way, if his neder was a par, then he's good. And if it's an eagle, so he's bringing a bigger animal, what's the problem? There's a chacham that said in our mission that a bigger animal is good. We don't know what he said, but we said at the end of our Mishnah, the Chachamim said that cotton behavior God or Yosef. So therefore, so why does he have to bring a pack?
Just bring the bigger one.
Now, why can't he just bring the bigger one? Now, it is true that even the Chachamim are only talking about the Dievin. However, in this case, where he has a suffix, it's like the Dievin. Why should he have to make him bring two animals because he forgot? The answer is Hamani Rabbi. You're right, that part of the Mishnah would only be according to Rabbi. The Chacham would disagree. The Chacham would say, you only have to bring the big one. The Omer caught in behavior, God, Allah Yasa. Again, we said at the end of the Mishnah that Rabbi says, if you said, I'm going to bring a smaller animal, and you brought a larger animal, you're not Yasa. So therefore, you have to go exactly by what you said. So the question is, Rabbi, okay, but if you're going to tell me Now, that part of the Mishnah is like, yeah, a mistake, but look at the end of our Mishnah. We said, shur b'mona v'hedi shnayim b'mona l'yopta. If he made a neder to bring a shur that's worth a mona, and instead he brought two that the combined value is a mona, we said, bo yopta. V'afilu zeh b'mona chosa dinner v'zeh b'mona chosa dinner. And even if each one is lacking only one dinner towards 100, that's the point. No, we're quoting this part of the Mishnah because we wanted to quote the end of it. We said shachar behavi lovin, lovin behavi shachar, gadol behavi katan la yosa, katan behavi gadol, but we said if you said I'm going to bring a small one, you brought a large one, yosa, Rebbe omer lo yosa, and there we're saying Rebbe says you're not yosa. No, the point is that it sounds like the Mishnah up until that point is all according to the Chachamim, and only at the end is Rebbe coming in and saying over here lo yosa. So are you telling me Reisha the safer Rebbe of the Yosa Rabbanon? You're telling me the Reisha of our Mishnah is like Rebbe, then it switches to the Chachamim to say the Chachamim's opinion, and then it goes back to Rebbe. What kind of a structure is that for a mission? The answer is A. Yes. Yeah, that's how we have to explain it. They should say for Rebbe, the beginning of our mission is like Rebbe, then it switches over to the Chachamim, and then back to Rebbe.
Why?
Namely, Vahachi Kama, because the Mishnah means to say like this. Dover Zem, Achloikas Rebbe Rabbanon. You should know, this concept that we're talking about, that if the person made a neder to bring some kind of cattle, that he has to bring a pound, an eagle, not everybody agrees to that. Only Rebbe would say that, because you should know that in general, the Chachamim say, Katan behavi gadol yasa, and Rebbe disagrees. So therefore, so it's not, the Mishnah is not, it doesn't have such an odd structure. The Mishnah is telling us the opinion of Rebbe, and then, so you shouldn't think that everybody agrees to that, so the Mishnah, and the Mishnah explains that you should know the Chachamim say one way, and Rebbe says another way.
If we cannot conclude that from the Reisha.
How? The Reisha didn't say any names. We would think that it was a weird thing. It's not Mishnah, it's going to everybody. In fact, the Rambam does task in like our Mishnah though, which again leads to the question, why would the Rambam be tasking like Rebbe against the Chachamim? So we had that earlier in connection with the Menachos. So again, one possibility is that indeed he does, because at the beginning of the Perek, we tried to say that the Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, and here we're trying to explain most of our Mishnah as being according to Rebbe, so therefore that might be reason enough to pass in like Rebbe, even against the usual rules. Okay. The other possibility is maybe even the Chachamim would agree if he said, for example, Davka, a certain animal, and no other, well then, he has no choice. He has to bring a power and an eagle, because then... Okay, but nevertheless, so then the Rambam is just saying generically that if he says, for Ashkenazi, they must say, okay, because you have the possibility that he might have said, I said, Dafka and Eagle, or Dafka and Eagle, but yeah, okay, that's the point. When he says, for Ashkenazi, they must say, he might have meant that I said Dafka and no substitution there allowed. Okay, but nevertheless, that's what we have to know, because we have to know what the halach is, and in that case, we have to know they bring both the larger and the smaller. Okay. Yeah. It could happen, he forgot, yeah. People are, I don't know, I mean, I've agreed. Yes, but afterwards you might forget. Like this with shul, keep in mind, first of all, with shul, okay, you know, you're going to be paying it fairly soon, and if not, I'm going to be reminding you, and then putting your name up on the notes out there, whatever. Here you have a person could, you know, he comes back and I'm in Olu Vilegov, I'm Tishrei, and right then, on the spot, right after he comes back to home, he makes a netter to bring a carbon, and then 6 months later, the next time he's being Olu Vilegov, he forgot. Yeah, Nissen time. From Tishrei to Nissen, right? But meanwhile, he forgot. What did he mean? Meanwhile, he forgot, yeah. Okay, there's that also, yeah. Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Mr. Carl.
Yeah.